in the most significant changes in our policy in more than 50 years. We will end an outdated approach that for decades has failed to advance our interests, and instead, we will begin to normalize relations between our two countries.
That was President Obama last month announcing his plans to thaw relations between the U.S. and Cuba. For more than half a century, Cuba has been a bit of a mystery to most Americans, a kind of romantic, tragic Cold War artifact. In our popular imagination, a place of very old American cars and these gorgeous decaying buildings. But that picture is about to get a lot more fleshed out. Americans are obviously about to visit Cuba in numbers unseen since the 1950s, yes, to buy cigars and hang out on beaches, but also to see and hear and consume the art and culture of this most nearby, faraway country. Victoria Burnett is a journalist who lived in Cuba for 4 years recently and writes about the country for the New York Times. She joins me now from Mexico City. Victoria, welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you.
So if you can sort of, in a general way, what kinds of cultural scenes will they find? How distinct is it? How different from the rest of Latin America or, for that matter, Florida are the arts scenes?
One of the things I think is surprising about the Cuban cultural scene is it's very vibrant, considering Cuba is not a large country. It has a population of just over 11 million people. Havana is a city of about 4 million. And yet you have theaters, ballet, lots of galleries, artist studios, contemporary dance, and then the sort of cliched image of the Cuban, which happens to be true, which is that Cubans are very, very interested in music and dance. So you feel it on the streets. It's also extremely accessible to Cubans because one of the policies of the government has been to make culture economically accessible. So for the price of a bag of popcorn, you can go and see a movie for 5 or 6 cents. You can go to see the ballet. You can go to a concert.
As this opening happens and presumably will grow between the United States and Cuba, what will be the impact on Cuban artists? I mean, it's impossible to predict with precision, but what do you think?
I think that the immediate impact will be that their market will simply grow because there will be more Americans visiting. One of the few things you can bring back under the embargo from Cuba is an unlimited amount of art.
Really?
So one of the things that people spend really quite significant sums on when they go to Cuba is art. So they've always had this lifeline from the Americans. On the music front, it should just become easier, less red tape, more musicians coming down, more Cuban musicians being able to go to the United States. And that's a very significant cultural connection because between New Orleans and Havana, there was a very strong jazz connection in the past. And it's something I know that there are a lot of artists who are very eager to foment as things go forward.
I would assume that literature, that fiction, that novels, because it's words and has, you know, is more potentially more threatening in its didactic take on life in Cuba and the regime, would be more problematic for writers. Is that so?
That's a very good point. I think that perhaps because books are physical things that can be passed around from person to person, there does seem to be stronger control on literature. Plus, the Cuban state owns the bookshops. So if you go into a Cuban bookshop, you're only going to find the books that they approve of. That said, the most famous Cuban novelist, Leonardo Padura, who's written detective novels and a book about Trotsky, his work is absolutely searing in its depiction of Cuba. And yet he publishes in Spain, he publishes on the island. His books are very widely read, and he still lives there. So Go figure.
Cuban artists have been known for the last 50 years, along with the rest of Cuba, for getting along with very limited resources. Assuming they now will start getting, in a significant way, better access to supplies and opportunities, what will the effect of that be?
I mean, still, there are restrictions to what you can bring into the country just on a practical level. It's difficult to get stuff. It's difficult to import. So, you know, I've been asked to bring things occasionally for artist friends or others. You know, people need graphite for their drawings or ink for spotting photographs, and they can't get it. But increasingly, those materials are available, especially to those artists who travel back and forth a lot. But it's so ingrained in their kind of artistic psyche it'll be interesting to see for how long Cubans continue to paint and use these interesting materials that they can just, that what is on hand locally.
Developed countries, as well as less developed countries around the world for our entire lifetimes, have complained about being swamped by American movies and TV and music. Is this something that anybody in Cuba, or artists in Cuba, are concerned about, the flood coming?
I mean, to be honest, I think that's something that people from outside of Cuba are concerned about happening to Cuba.
Uh-huh.
I think that a lot of people go to Cuba, and what they love about it is it's like they're stepping back in time, and there's no McDonald's, and there's no this, and there's no that.
Yeah.
I think Cubans actually kind of fancy having a McDonald's, you know, and a lot of the comforts that go with everyday life in a consumer environment. I mean, I think that this romantic vision that outsiders have of Cuba, where it's decadent and the cars are all ancient and rattle along. For Cubans, that car is a headache. They would rather just have a Honda.
Yeah. Victoria Burnett, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Victoria Burnett is a journalist who has lived in Cuba and writes about the country for the New York Times.